Manchester City have won the Premier League.
Goals against Emil Heskey. Could it be five? Yes, it is.
Frank De Boer singing out Dennis Bergkamp. Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful!
Hello, welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lapp, and joining me this week, I've got Anthony Kendrick.
Hello.
I'm Richard O. Hudson.
Good evening.
You good, lads?
Yeah, I've been in Austria all week.
Yeah, is it good? Saw you at the opera.
Yeah, I thought it was been a bit cultural. Went to see Faust, which is all about Mephistopheles.
Ooh, sounds cool. Never heard of it.
I've been in sunny Manchester all week. I had to get my phone replaced, and I think losing a phone these days, it's like losing an arm or something. It's awful. I had to send my phone away for repair, and not being able to contact anyone all week. It's been a bit sad, really. But yeah, I've got my new phone, and yeah, I'm happily recording a podcast for you guys. So yeah,
cool. We had snow, and we thought it's going to stick because it never sticks around here, and it stuck for about 10 minutes, and then died. Because we're surrounded on three sides by sea, it just doesn't stick here. It's too salty, apparently, the air.
Yeah, I was just walking through several feet of it back over the street.
Has anyone seen there's been problems with the Winter Olympics because of the cold weather? They're saying
it's too cold for the Winter Olympics.
It's too cold, yeah. They're saying it's just not tolerable. Pyeongchang.
It's going to be like minus 20 or something, isn't it?
Mm. And it's very windy as well, which is, so you've got Arctic chill plus that sort of temperature. And difficult conditions. I'd love to see a football match at minus 20, to be fair, bringing it back onto football. Could you imagine?
Everybody have to wear their long johns.
I don't think they should be throwing themselves on the pitch as much anyway.
No. I don't know if there is like a weather. Obviously, when it gets hot, you have the breaks and stuff, but I don't know if there is a cold weather or waterlogged pitch, but I don't think there is a it's too cold to play or anything, is it?
Oh, yeah. If a pitch is frozen, then you've got to call it off because potential injuries.
But then the big clubs have got your under soil heating, like at United, for instance.
Yeah.
Got that.
If you drop down the leagues, then more and more get cold.
Yeah, true. I'm just wondering if we could see a Man United game played at minus 20 or something stupid like that.
Minus 20, but the ground would be nice and toasty because of the heating.
Yeah, what often happens in that thing is that although the pitch is fine, they cancel the game for the worry of fans getting there.
That's true, yeah.
Right, so we didn't have a show last week due to holidays and work. And it's not very often all of us are not available, but probably the first time ever all of us were not available. So we didn't get to discuss Jim White Day, so I thought we'll start with that. So Arsenal have signed Aubameyang from Dortmund for a club record £56 million. We mentioned on the last show that we didn't think he needed him, but he played pretty well at the weekend, I thought.
They don't need him. He's a world-class striker, and I think has said the same about when United got Sanchez. If a player of that ability becomes available, even if you don't need him, you go for them.
Mm.
And he's a different striker to what Arsenal have. I think the link-up with him and Mkhitaryan will be fantastic for them.
Didn't he say the main reason he went there? Because he had a chat with Mkhitaryan. And isn't the director of football, used to be the head scout at Dortmund, I think.
Mm. No, I do. I think he's a very good player, and I do think, you know, he will link up with Mkhitaryan, who he already has in his first game. It's been a very good start. In terms of not need, I just think it's a lack of strategy on Arsenal's part, because they signed Lacazette in the summer for, it wasn't 56 million, but it can't have been far off. It must have been 40-something million. And it's just a lack of planning. They've spent nearly 100 million pounds on two similar strikers when in reality they should have had one. They don't need both of them. But Aubameyang is obviously an upgrade on Lacazette, and had they not signed him, we'd be saying, hang on, Arsenal aren't showing any ambition signing world class players who are available. But, you know, should they have maybe shown a little more strategic nous?
I think Lacazette has perhaps not looked as great as he could have done. But in getting Aubameyang, he's a striker. You know, Arsenal have always struggled with, they do all the pretty stuff, but just can't get the ball in the back of the net. Aubameyang is a striker that will have as many shots as possible in a game and will get the ball in the back of the net.
Oh. I'm not disputing that. Aubameyang could be like Henri, I think. I genuinely think he's that good. But he needs to... From Arsenal's point of view, where is their transfer planning? Where you know, did they actually think about Lacazette? He's not really had a fair run in the team, I don't think. I don't think he's consistently played enough for Arsenal. I think it's quite disappointing, really. And I'd be pretty angry if I was him.
Do you not see them being able to play together? Or are they just two similar players?
They could play together. That's a difficult question. I personally think probably not. Sorry, I'm waffling. I think perhaps I don't think they'd be that good together. To be honest, I can see them playing the odd game together, but both more effective as a lone striker for me with the creativity. You could pair them either of them with a target man would work, but because they both like to use their pace getting in behind and drift in, looking for the space, I just think they'd get in each other's way.
I don't know, I could possibly say it. Like, Aubameyang has evolved into a striker over the years whilst he was at Dortmund. When he joined Dortmund, he was more on the wing, and over the years he moved to that striker role. He could easily play behind another striker.
I definitely wouldn't have him behind, like, in the number 10. I could see him potentially as a wide man, but then... No, for me, he has to play central. He's your best player. He has to play central.
The role that they've lost now with Sanchez going. Sanchez could play as a striker, but he also could play in any of the three roles behind.
It'd be interesting.
Your strikers nowadays, well, apart from when you've got a striker that, say, perhaps like Lukaku at United, but you often have a striker that can play a variety of roles across that sort of forward four nowadays. Mm. We have to be fit like that.
The only thing I could see that could work with both of them is perhaps like a split striker thing. I know England tried it with no success, but that I could potentially see working. You know, you play like a diamond or something and you have the two of them who sort of split off either side. I could see that maybe working. But I don't know. I think Lacazette, that this is the end of Lacazette unless Aubameyang gets an injury or something, for me.
Go for the old 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Chelsea were linked with every tall striker under the sun, like Carroll and Crouch. Who else? They ended up with Arsenal's Oliver Giroud, 18-month contract, £18 million.
Did you see what happened with him in regards to watching games?
No.
He had to sit there and watch the Arsenal game before he moved, which they lost either 3-4-1 or something like that. He joins Chelsea. Within 24 hours, he sat on the bench watching them lose 3-1. So I think he was like the first player to have been within 24 hours lost two games.
3-1.
And they've lost again since then, Chelsea.
Yeah. Mm.
I think he's a decent signing. I think he's a good, second choice striker. He's been very good at Arsenal providing. He provides a different option at Arsenal. He provided a different option at Arsenal, I should say. At Chelsea, with Morata as the main man, I'd have preferred to see them sign a different sort of striker rather than another target man, personally. But, they've picked Giroud because Conte wants a second target man. And, he's probably the best player they could have got for that role that they want him for. I think he'll do all right, personally.
I just think that is an odd signing. It was like, they've got a second striker in Batshuayi, who, every time I've seen him come on, I think he's been decent. Mm. For goals per minute in the Premier League, he was up there as one of the best. Mm. He's gone to Dortmund. Did he get two on his debut for them?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah. It's the old Chelsea thing of, you've got a young player there that looks half decent. Let's chip him out and just bring in somebody else instead.
Mm. Well, that's the thing with Chelsea. They have an 11. They have a starting 11, and they have their 11 plus Fabregas, and it was like that last season, really. And that's it. Nobody else gets in the side, and it's like that this season. There's just not enough squad rotation. It goes back to the last show we did, where we had a bit of a disagreement, me and Shane, like we always do, but about the squad game versus the best 11. And at Chelsea, they need to rotate the squad. Have Batshuayi have more chances in the side? you know, had he got, you know, 30-odd games a season, he would have been a hit at Chelsea. I'm convinced of that. But he just didn't get that opportunity.
Yeah, he probably... I'm thinking because it's a World Cup year, that was probably the main reason on his head that he wanted to get in the Belgium squad.
Oh, yeah. You can't blame him for that. Belgium have got a good side, and he has got a battle. He's going to have to battle to get into that squad. You know, obviously Lukaku, who's most likely going to be the main man up front. And, yeah, you know, you absolutely do not have any blame at Batshuayi's feet. He's got to move. He had to move to better himself because he wasn't going to get the opportunity at Chelsea.
No, yeah, no gripes whatsoever against him as a player. Any player that moves because he wants to play games, then hats off to him.
Didn't Luckman have a good start at Leipzig as well?
Who, sorry?
Didn't Luckman?
Yeah, he scored on his debut for them.
Yeah.
Big Sam weren't very happy about Luckman, was he?
He was very stubborn. His stubbornness got him the move, apparently.
Well, apparently he was going to go to Derby County. It was all agreed. He'd moved to Derby on loan for the season, and right at the death, he decided himself to go to Leipzig.
I think that's a cracky move. I think it's great when English-based players go in and experience the continent a bit and learn different methods.
Oh, no, I agree with that. But, you know, if your manager says, right, you're going on loan today, you agree it, and then you decide to disobey your manager and go there, that's not great. I mean, yeah, he scored, it's worked out okay after a game. But, you know, look at someone like Jan Azai at United a few years ago. You know, they wanted him to stay in the Premier League, and he decided no, he's made his own decision to go to Dortmund, and that was a catalyst to ruining his United career.
Right, and then Tottenham have signed PSG winger Lucas Moura for $23 million. Oh, I was hoping he was coming to United. But...
Yeah, we wanted him as a kid, didn't we? United. He's shown a few glimpses of potential at PSG, but not enough consistently to play for that side. As an extra option in the squad, he'd be very good for Spurs. They've got him very good price when you consider transfer fees. I know PSG are in a bit of trouble with financial fair play. They put him up for sale. They put their left back as well, Ivan Kurzawa, up for sale. I think he stayed at the club in the end. But I think it's a good bit of business for the price. You know, he's definitely good enough for Tottenham's attack, and it adds competition for places. He can also he could also play up front if absolutely necessary as well, if Kane gets injured or whatever. So yeah, I think good player, good price. Good deal all round, really.
Yeah, no disagreement there. I think United were probably keen on getting him again until they obviously found out that they had a chance for Sanchez.
Yeah.
I think they would have gone in for him if they hadn't got Sanchez, and Spurs have jumped in when pretty much nobody else was then interested and got him at a good value. You know, until Neymar and Mbappe came into the PSG side this year, you know, he was getting the game last season, and it was only... Yeah, I think most players in the world would start ended up on the bench if you get Neymar and Mbappe in your side.
Mm, yeah.
Should we rush through these ones? Everton have signed Mangala, and he was a bit terrible on his debut.
Yeah, did Everton actually watch Mangala for the last 3 years before making the signing? The Everton fans that I know of are like after the initial honeymoon that they had with Big Man, now pulling their hair out at the club again.
Yeah.
I do think he's a Big Sam type of player, though, because he's got the right physical attributes. It's just mentally he can be a bit... I don't want to say stupid, because that's not right, but he's not...
He hasn't got football intelligence.
He's not got the football intelligence. Sometimes he can lack that sort of awareness. With the right coach, he could be a very good defender because he's got the right physical attributes. If you know, if someone could help him with that sort of side of things, I think he could be a very good defender. He reminds me a bit of a Sacco who played at Liverpool and now at Palace. You know, again, a good defender with right physical attributes just isn't doesn't have that footballing brain, that footballing intelligence. I think he could do well. I know he had an atrocious debut, but I don't know if there's a future fee or anything agreed on it. I guess Guardiola wouldn't want him back anyway, so I'm sure it can't be that big a fee.
Arsenal have re-signed Andre Ayew from West Ham for club record $18 million.
Swansea.
Did I say?
Why can't I said Arsenal.
I heard Arsenal.
Did I say Arsenal?
Arsenal got IU.
What's up with me today? I can't read.
It's all the A's. Andre AU, Arsenal.
So, I've got to say it again. Swansea have re-signed forward Andre AU. I think he'll... Because they're in a pretty decent form at the moment. Do you think this could either disrupt the...
He didn't pull up trees at West Ham?
No.
He was unlucky at West Ham, to be fair, though. He had a good debut and then got the injury after, like, two or three games, as I recall.
I think West Ham have got good money for him there. I think it's only because he's going back to a club where he was half-decent that he's commanded that fee.
Yeah, initial £18 million rising to £20 million, depending on.
Well, that's basically what West Ham paid for him, isn't it? I think West Ham paid about £20 million for him, so, yeah, I guess it's not bad business for them. They can move on. It's almost like he didn't happen. He's a good player for Swansea. He's probably the best sort of calibre of player they can attract. I'm sure he'll do okay there. He's obviously linked up with his brother again. I saw that he said that weren't a big factor in his decision to go to Swansea. He just said it was because of unfinished business. But I'm sure him and his brother Jordan are good pals. Unless they're not, I don't know.
It's like the Gallagher brothers.
I was actually thinking that as I said it. I can't wait to see the tweets if it is like that.
Alright, are you excited, lads? Because some of the pictures back, we haven't done it for, 6 weeks? Alright, so.
Is that it for all the transfers?
I think so.
There's the one today that's happened, the free transfer.
Oh, that's going to be in the next part. We're going to discuss that. That was just Jim White, though. Remember? So in the next part, we're going to discuss free transfers. So I was a bit lazy today, and I found a quiz online. So half the questions are easy, and half the questions are pretty impossible. So I thought it'd be fun if you picked each other's questions. So I've numbered them 1 to 10. So, yep. Hero, do you want to go first? Pick a question for Anthony.
He can have number 10.
Number 10. Right. Which English club went 32 consecutive games without a win in both the Premier League and the Championship between September 07 and September 08?
Derby County.
Yes.
Oh, that'd have to give the one with...
club supports. Anthony?
Number 3.
Which retail billionaire became the owner of Newcastle United in 07?
Mike Hathaway.
Yes. Hear it.
Number 8.
Right. In Northern Ireland's Football League, name both Belfast's big clubs.
I don't know. I have no idea. No, I don't know. I'm sorry. Belfast United and Belfast City. I have no idea.
Crusaders, one of them?
No, it's Glentoran and Linfield.
I've heard of both of them. Roy Carroll, I believe, played for Linfield. I've heard of both of those sides. That's annoying.
Okay, so Anthony, pick a question for.
Have we had nine?
Who once said, "When the seagulls follow the troller, it's because they think seedy."
Can't answer that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Anthony. Number 1.
Ryan Giggs is the new Wales football manager, but in which sport did his dad, Danny Wilson, win? Was a Welsh international?
I've heard of it, because... No. He was a Welsh international... I'm going to guess rugby, but it might... Yeah, rugby. I'll go with rugby.
Be more specific.
But I'm not confident in that.
Rugby.
So...
Two types of rugby. I'll be more...
Come on. No, you don't have to... okay, fine. Welsh is more known for rugby union, so I'll go with the union.
No, it's league.
Oh, fuck off. That's harsh.
Well, they're not the same sport. So.
No, but you use a generic rugby, it's usually enough in quizzes.
Anthony?
We had 7.
No. Right. In 1997, which player was the first to score a hat-trick of headers in the Premier League?
97. Come on. 97. Big player in that days. I'm going to take a punt at Duncan Ferguson.
Yes, against Bolton. 3-1. And here.
I was trying to. If Shearer still at that point, but he'd gone empty at that point.
97?
Oh no. I would have gone Shearer if I'd have thought. Number 4?
4, yep. Right. In 2005, which two Newcastle United teammates were sent off for fighting?
It was Kieran Dyer and Lee Bowyer. I watched that clip recently, actually.
Yeah.
I watched that the other day as well.
yeah, quite funny times.
My Sky One programmes about funny things in football.
It just came up as a suggested video on YouTube, so yeah, who doesn't like watching that? Anyway,
so Anthony, you got 2, 5, or 6?
5.
Who was captain of Italy until his international retirement in 2017?
Buffon?
Yes.
Come on. 2.
I hate this one. Right. Name the only footballer born in the 1960s to score a Premier League hat-trick.
The only footballer born in the 60s to score a hat-trick.
Oh, sorry.
So they...
Born before 1960.
Oh, so born in the 50s.
Yeah.
Okay, born in the 50s. Oh, God. To 59, that would have made them 89-33 or so when the Premier League started. So it's probably a late 80s or so.
Premier League is 92, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, so they'd have had to be like 33 or something when they scored it, at least. So it's probably a player from the late 80s, like more known late 80s or early 90s, but I don't know. There's probably people a bit older than me screaming the answer. Phillips?
No. Gordon Strachan. Phillips? Hero's age, isn't he?
Kevin Phillips, yeah, he's like 90. Yeah. So I was just trying to think of a generic surname, to be honest.
Gordon Strachan. So. That leaves you with number 6. Hero?
Yeah.
So which Chelsea footballer played every minute of the season for his club when they won the title in 2017?
Gary Cahill?
No, it's Oscar Laqueta.
Oh, I need that one.
Alright, so at the end of round one, it's 4-2 to Hero.
Oh, it's the second round.
Yeah, exactly the same.
I think Hero got a bit lucky with the questions there, I must say.
I think there's 2 or 3 exceptionally easy ones.
Yeah, that's all right. Half of them were easy, half of them.
Did you know, would you have got Strachan out of interest?
No. I wouldn't have guessed, you guessed, but...
I was trying to think who was, like, good in the England team in, like, that era, but I had no idea.
I was thinking someone like... I was trying to work out somebody like how old Mark Hughes had been, or...
Yeah.
Oh, right, sorry. So former United left-back Patrice Evra says he feels lucky after signing for West Ham until June. So he's been without a club since Marseille cancelled his contract by mutual consent after he kicked a fan.
I love this game.
Evra was banned from European competitions, but he's allowed to play in the Premier League for the Hammers. So, what do you think of this signing then, lads?
I like him being back in the Premier League. I think he's a great character. Mm. I do wonder somewhat with West Ham's transfer policy of late. I'm sure they said at the beginning of the transfer window that they weren't going to be a club that... they were going to be looking at young, decent players rather than waste it on 32-year-olds.
36-year-olds.
In the twilight of the career.
Left-back doesn't jump out to me a position they need. They've got Creswell.
That Masuaku was having a decent time of it, and then he got a stupid ban, didn't he, for spitting. But he was doing all right, and I suppose as a left-back out there now to sign, I suppose, if they're going to throw the book at him and Masuaku's not playing again for a while, then, yeah, you can sort of see it. It's a bit of a strange one, but yeah, maybe. But, yeah, Aaron Creswell, presumably. I don't know what's happened to him, because... as far as I'm aware, he's not really played for West Ham, has he? I don't know.
I don't know off the top of my head. I knew he was in the England squad a couple of months at the end of last season.
No, he's sort of having a decent time. He was doing okay, but he's gone. I don't know. It's just, it's funny that they've replaced one left back because of disciplinary problems with another one who's who's had a disciplinary incident this season. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. I think he's going to get torn apart, but, you know, he might prove us wrong. Zabaleta's doing okay right back for West Ham, so I don't know, between them, they must have the oldest pair of fullbacks in the Premier League.
Have West Ham played it Old Trafford yet this season?
Ooh. Not that I recall.
I think that he'll get an amazing reception.
Do you think David Moyes will get a good reception too?
No.
I presume not, because unless they were there when Bilic was there, because if Moyes had gone back, we'd have remembered Moyes and all that, wouldn't we? I presume.
Moyes will get booed off. Well, he'll probably get laughed at rather than booed.
Yeah, but we'd have remembered it, is what I'm saying, as a news story.
Yeah.
I don't recall it, so I don't know. I don't think West Ham have been to Old Trafford yet, but I could be wrong.
So what are some of your guys' favourite free transfers, or the ones from history?
Alexis Sanchez last week.
Demba Ba going to Newcastle's a good one, I think. He signed on a free. He's one that sort of sticks out for me.
Yeah, he had a good first couple of months there, didn't he?
He sort of shared, because it was him, and then they signed Papi Cisse after, yeah. And he kind of took over as the main striker, and Ba ended up getting played on the wing. But he's a player I really liked, actually, at Newcastle, and then he obviously went to Chelsea and scored that famous goal where Gerrard slipped. But yeah, he's a player I really liked. Yeah, you've obviously got Zlatan going to United. He's Kolasinac, Arsenal as well. He's done all right. So yeah, I don't know. Denver Bar's the one for me in recent years that sticks out.
Okay. Juventus did well a couple of years ago getting Kadira on a freebie. Mm. I think one of the best for the Premier League was Klinsmann.
Oh, his second spell.
Yeah. That looks good. Sol Campbell.
Yeah, it's got to be number one. I had a couple of JJ Catcher to Bolton, 92. It's a great one. Esteban another name I can't pronounce. One to Leicester, Cambiaso.
Oh, Esteban Cambiaso. Yeah, he had a good year at Leicester.
Viali to Chelsea.
Yeah, and the year before that, Ruud Gullit went as well. Yeah. When they were signing every whole trip.
Both of them in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Liverpool's Joel Matip in defence. He's done okay. I don't know.
Was Pirlo a free transfer to Juve at the time?
Sure, I think it's top now.
Yeah, I think he was. I'm pretty sure he was, yeah. And he's obviously, he developed into a great player. He obviously already was a great player, but then I think after that he was considered.
I had a couple more. Brad Friedel to Blackburn in 2000, and Gary McAllister to Liverpool in 2001, and Michael Ballack to Chelsea in 2006.
Lewandowski.
Oh yeah. Before the show, me and Anthony were trying to think of one way through the season, but we couldn't think of any. At the top of our heads.
Yeah, I've just checked it up now, and yes, Pirlo was a free transfer. That's got to be one of the best, because I think everybody at the time already thought he was on his way out, and he just became such a masterclass at Juventus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was.
It's right. Go on, sorry.
As I say, wasn't he about 32-33?
Midfield. You know, they got the old master on a free transfer in Pirlo, but they got a young free transfer as well that they made a few quid on at the same time to Paul Pogba.
Yeah,
just thinking about the mid-season transfer, free agent signings. Yeah, there's not many. There's a few goalkeepers who spring to mind. I know Burnley got Lindegaard, the former United keeper, this season when Tom Heaton got his bad injury, and there's been a few other goalkeepers, but obviously they've not really played. It's just as a backup. Mm. But yeah, there's not many of these.
Was Hendrik Larsson, or was he on loan?
Larsson was a loan deal for a couple of months. He came in and did well. I'm sure Southampton got a fullback on a free, but I can't think for the life of me who. Mid-season. I don't know. Shame Shane's not on, so either rant at me that I'm wrong or back me up.
It's another left-back news. Luke Shaw signed a new contract. Well-deserved, I think.
Is it confirmed?
I think so.
All right. It's great business, isn't it? It's a great turnaround for him, really, because he sort of looked finished at United a few months ago, and now he's got a new contract. He's done well.
He's cut down the Greg's diet.
Yeah.
I was still saying he's set to sign all these reports. I thought he had. But I think it's well deserved.
I'm quite glad on it because I stole him from Anthony on my on our manager game on the forum this week.
Just
as he was about to announce it, I snuck in there like United on Sanchez.
it was gutting really. But there's quite a few players United have got on deals though. I guess because of how it works, whether he signed a new deal or not officially, United have an option for an extra year on a lot of players. They tend to sign players on like 3 or 4 year contracts with the option for an extra year. And I presume it's just a case of taking it up for one more year.
He did it with Matt recently.
I know they did it with Rooney before, and yeah, they've done it with several players. It just tends to be how they operate.
The big signing for United this summer is not a new one coming in. It's getting De Gea down again for a new contract. That'll be the best bit of summer business United could do this year.
I think you've got... Yeah, no, I agree with that, but I think it'd be closely followed by getting Fellaini to sign a new contract. He's out. His deal runs out in the summer.
I'm not overly that fixed on that one.
I say it half tongue in cheek, but I'm semi serious now. When you actually think about it, I think
United need to be looking at a better partner for Pogba in that midfield.
Mm. All right, shall we go on to the second round of some of the pitch? So same rules again. So who went first last time? Was it Hero?
Yeah, I got asked the first question.
All right, okay, yeah. So Anthony, you can go first. Ask the first question to Hero.
Is it same 1 to 10?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go for number 7.
As of 2018, name the largest football stadium in Essex.
I'm not that great on around London geography. I know Essex is to the northeast of London, isn't it?
Oh yeah, sorry, yeah. Never east, yeah. Yeah, northeast. Between London and East Anglia, isn't it?
So it's like Chelmsford and all that sort of... There must be... I'm imagining some of the London ones creep into it. Olympic Stadium, although West Ham are that way of it, London, I can't see the Olympic Stadium being there.
Loads of Londoners cursing at us for our lack of knowledge.
They're all Northerners. So.
While they're listening to it on the tube. I think I've got an idea anyway. Go on.
Southend?
Sorry?
Southend?
Yes, Root Hall is the...
It's the only place I can think of in Essex that isn't Chelmsford.
Alright, Hero. Do you want to pick one for Anthony?
10.
Right, which player holds the record as the youngest player to play in a World Cup and also helped his country to win the last ever Home Nations Championship in 1984?
Youngest player to play in a World Cup and who's some other 80s footballer? I've got no idea. Young 80s.
I know Hero will know this one. Give up.
I wasn't actually listening when he asked the question. I'll have a go in a sec after he's finished, though.
No, I've no idea. Brian Robson, I've got no idea.
No. So here it was, which player holds the record for being the youngest player to play in the World Cup and also helped his country to win the last ever British Home Nations Championship in 1984?
Whiteside?
Yes. No bonus for you.
Number 6.
Harry Kane was the first English player to win the Premier League Golden Boot. Since which other English player?
Don't think Shearer did. I don't think Owen did. Rooney definitely did. I'll go with Clive Allen.
No, it wasn't quite that long ago. Thought he had him tonight. Kevin Phillips, 99, 2000.
Oh. Because I know Clive Allen scored something like 44 goals in one season for Spurs.
Yeah.
In the 80s. He was that far back.
That was what I meant with Kevin Phillips, by the way. I thought it was him.
Just getting the wrong question for that.
I was going to answer Gordon Strachan if I got that question.
So here, your question for Anthony?
10.
10. Talk about, done 10.
10 again.
You picked 10 last time.
I can if you want. I can do
You might get me right this time. Number, what have we not had? 9?
In 1970.
Oh, God.
In which country was England captain Bobby Moore arrested for the theft of a bracelet from a jeweller's?
In 1970?
Yeah.
2002. So 1970 would it have been a World Cup year? Yeah, 32.
It's Mexico. Yeah, it
would have been a World Cup year.
It was a World Cup year.
So Mexico.
Yeah.
So Mexico after 66, wasn't it?
Well, if there was a, I'm just trying to think if it was in a World Cup country or something, a country which hosted, but I've no idea. 1970. No, I don't know. I'm just gonna have to guess. He was arrested in... I'll go France, but no conviction to that at all.
No. Do you know here?
It was in Bogota, Colombia, wasn't it? Even although the World Cup was actually in Mexico.
Yeah.
Alright. I like what I did West Ham fans about.
Anthony?
Number 3.
Who was appointed team captain of Aston Villa in the 17-18 season?
I thought how you initially worded it was in the 17-18 season, as in the year 17-18, is that it? I know they're an old club, but not that far back. John Terry?
Yes. I'm just trying to see if there's any way of Anthony catching it. You've got 6. No. Do you want to stop, or do you want to carry on? No.
We may as well finish the quiz.
Okay. Hear it.
We've got left.
You've got 1, 2, 4, 5, 8.
8.
The Stadio Giuseppe Mezzaradin in Milan is better known as what name?
I presume it's the San Siro.
Yep. Did I do well on the pronunciation here?
The Giuseppe what?
The Stadio Giuseppe Mazzian.
I'm not sure.
I'll say yes on that.
I've been practicing all day.
It's just saying it from sounding very confident in what you're saying.
Most of my Italian pronunciation comes from watching the old Channel 4 Gazzetta football on a Sunday. Golazzo!
Anthony?
Number 1?
Sir Stanley Matthews' ashes are buried beneath the centre circle of which football club in 2000?
Stokes?
Yes.
Good answer.
Thank you.
Hear it?
I know there's certainly a statue of Stanley Matthews in the middle of Stoke.
Hmm. Hear it?
Two.
Tynecastle Park is the football stadium of which club?
Tynecastle Park.
Two.
Tynecastle Park? The River Tyne's got to come into... It's got to be a North East club. It's not Newcastle, Sunderland, Middlesbrough. Tynecastle Park.
Are you a clue because you're so far behind? It's a Scottish Premier League club.
Is it Hearts?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
I knew it was either Hearts or Hibs.
As soon as you said Scottish Premier League, immediately got it. I'm reading a book. I should have got that. I'm reading, don't know if you're an Irvin Welsh book, Filth. It's made into a film with James McAvoy, but I'm reading that, and the main character in that supports Hearts, and he mentioned that. I should have known that. I feel bad because I've been spending the last week reading this bloody book.
It's
should be spending more time reading football trivia for these bloody quizzes.
Anthony, you got 4 or 5?
Number 8. All right. We'll go 4 because Heroes had 6 and 7, and 5, 6, 7 would be too much.
It's number 4 is...
Please.
In 15-16 season was the first time which club recorded a positive goal difference in the top flight since 1988?
Good question, I'd like to make a guess, if possible, after Heroes gone.
Is it Sunderland?
No.
Is it Leicester?
No. It's West Ham.
It's a good start, that. I like that.
right. There's Anthony, you're last. Yeah, so number six.
Can't
number six.
And this is treble points, right?
We don't take some.
Right. In 16-17 season, which club became the third to be top of the Premier League and relegated in the same season?
16-17 season. So last season. We're top of the Premier League. Yeah, I'll have to just remember the sides that were relegated.
16-17,
so last season, Villa, no, not Villa, Hull were, Hull, oh yeah, it was Hull, because they were top with Mike Feeney. They won the first couple of games, it was Hull.
Yes. Alright, well done. Congratulations to Hero, you finished the quiz with 7, and you finished the quiz with 5.
So. At least it wasn't a bloody annihilation, I'm happy.
You got your
that.
Last. You got your last 3 questions right.
You know, that last question.
I got some harsh questions up here, but yeah, no, good quiz. I really like that goal difference West Ham question, actually.
Right, just quite a quick one to finish on. So, Chinese club Hebe China Fortune are preparing another bid for Lionel Messi, having the first one refused. They want to buy out his long-term contract as 700 million euros. What I find interesting about this is they've got a new rule in Chinese football. So it actually cost them 1.4 billion euros because the Chinese FA have decided it's going to put 100% tax on all overseas players' transfers.
I think it's great, actually. I think this Chinese tax, because, well, they've said that any money raised by it will go into development of young players, etc., which is a very good thing to do. And, you know, for the amount we always complain about high transfer fees in this country and, you know, across Europe, we say, oh, it's paying 80, 90, 100 million for players is absolutely wrong. When you look at where, you know, that tax is going, it's the right thing. And, you know, they've kind of got a point. And if China wants to, if China wants to develop as a league and have a league which can compete with the European leagues, they need to be developing their own good players. They can't just rely on mercenaries like Carlos Tevez, who doesn't actually give a damn about that league. So yeah, no, I think the tax is very good. I'm a fan of it, and hopefully it will stop them getting so many mercenaries and you know, a few more young players developing talent, and you know, maybe the odd European player.
I think it has to be that healthy blend, doesn't it? The Chinese league in itself, without outside interference, is probably not going to develop. It needs to have better players coming into it for the players that are then in it to, you know, to see what they can do and improve themselves. I think if it's an insular league in which no outside influence is on it, then it's just going to stagnate within itself. But you don't want to go too far down the route and, you know, go to what happens really in the English Premier League, where you've got too many overseas players and it then hampers your national players.
Yeah, but I think the difference is the Premier League has that prestige. In China, the only players who are going there are, it's not players who are looking to become the greatest player or, you know, people who are looking to develop themselves. They're players going over there because they're going to get paid twice as much as a European club will pay for them. I think that's the key difference.
And you say that, but most of those players that joined Man City in, say, 2005, they weren't moving there because of the history of Manchester City.
No, but I think the difference with Man City is you can buy into it being a project. Man City is saying we want to be one of the top Premier League sides. And, you know, it's in the Premier League where you're playing against top quality teams. You know, joining Beijing, Shanghai, whichever side it is, you can't honestly say hand on heart, right, I'm joining these because I want to win the, or, you know, be a top side in the Chinese League. You're joining because it's a fortune more.
It is a fortune more, but I would also be thinking that although there's no history and prestige at the moment in the Chinese League, that's not to say that going forward with the investment that's there in it, that it can't become it. I know it's laughing stock at the moment for most Europeans, but I've been reading up on China quite a bit in the last few weeks on just the investment that they're pumping out throughout the world rather than just in themselves. And the money that China has at the moment is just phenomenal. If they're seriously wanting to make their league a success, they can blow most of Europe out of the water.
Yeah, but do you think...
sorry.
Go on, Chris, sorry.
I said the money, they said the money raised will go towards making 20,000 training and academies, 70,000 pitches, and they want 50 million children and adults playing the game by 2020.
Mm.
And they've got a lofty ambition of winning the World Cup in 2050.
No, I don't. I think it's a great thing. It's a great ambition because, you know, putting football to one side, just getting people involved, you know, in physical activity. I mean, if they'd... if the Premier League did a similar sort of scheme where they said, you know, not even 50%, even if they said 10% of all transfer fees, or even 1% of all transfer fees and wages, you know, think of Juan Mata's foundation, went into sport for kids, I don't think anyone would object to it, and they'd say it's marvellous, and, you know.
The one big issue I have about the movement towards China, and like they say, that all the investment into the kids and stuff, is China's record on human rights,
yeah,
the political here is pretty atrocious, and
yeah,
I'd be a bit concerned about these academies being set up and them being a factory rather than a, you know, you hear in this country how harshly some of the kids are treated, not on a dodgy coaching route, but just how kids are just sort of churned in and out and not thought of as actually the mental development and the, when they get rejected and stuff, they will be just treated in China as you know, a product.
Mm. No, that's that is a very valid point. Yeah, that's obviously something. I know a few academy shows Chris has done, actually. You've done quite a few where they've discussed that, haven't they? About players and how they've let go and told they're not good enough.
Yeah, well, they're a lot better now than they used to be with doing the education side of things and making sure they have a second skill and something to fall back on if they don't make it. And they were in like the 80s and 90s. But, yeah. So,
still, the volume of players that make it into the game compared to the ones that sort of get let go at, you know, 15, 16, etc. The few and far between the ones that make it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course it is, but... Yeah, there obviously has to be that balance, that realisation from young players that, yeah, they might not, or there's a reasonable chance they're not going to make it, you know, work hard. But that second skill, I think, is the crucial thing. And, you know, getting a general education and, you know, your academia or your whatever, whether it's a vocational like bricklaying or, I don't know, electrician, whatever it is, or even another sport, I don't know. But, yeah,
definitely. Do you think that China?
What? I hope so. Probably not. No, you're right. That is a good point. You're right. But it's better than them not putting money in it at all, I suppose. You know, we can only hope that it's run properly, the academies, etc.
This has just come up on the hours. Anything else you want to discuss? So?
There's a lot of good games to look forward to this weekend, isn't there? Arsenal, Spurs, and Leicester, Man City. I'm looking forward to them.
Yeah.
Mahrez has already, it's already been said that Mahrez isn't going to play that game.
Oh, he said he will play that game?
No, Puyol said he's not playing.
All right, okay.
I'm looking.
Well, he's hoping that he turns up for training soon.
He's not in the right frame of mind to do it.
Sad situation, really, because you know, he's obviously a Leicester legend. I hope this doesn't tarnish him too much, his reputation in the future. But yeah, you can't blame him wanting to go to a big club. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that game, and hopefully Leicester can get a result and make the Premier League somewhat interesting. But I don't see that happening.
Nice. So I hope that Chinese discussion brings back all our Japanese listeners, which we lost this week.
We're discussing the Japanese league next week, the J League.
I don't imagine it will, because the general relationship between the Japanese and Chinese is particularly great.
Right, so thanks for listening tonight. You can follow us on Twitter at VC Football and check out our website, vcfootball.com. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.